So let's begin our first presentation, Michael Caluori, the Township Experience. Michael is going to present by himself, without aid. And like Ingrid said, he will be the visual. I leave it to you.
You're welcome.
Good morning. If I'm your type, then I'm your visual. If I'm not, cover your eyes. This is called High Tech. When I was asked by Murray to do this presentation, I decided that I was going to do it as if you came to visit me in the townships in conversation style. It may be a little disorganized, but I think it all makes sense at the end. But I thought I would just talk with you rather than at you and explain to you what we've done. Murray had mentioned that we had had some success. I found that rather flattering. I don't know if this is success. I don't want to judge it. But if we have had success, I'm going to share with you some of the strategies we've used in the townships and some of the factors that exist in the townships that may or may not be similar to your area. But you can draw from it and see if it can help you with it. First of all, who are we? We're the Townshipers Association. We claim to represent the English-speaking population in a vast territory from Lake Champlain to the Maine border, from the U.S. border on the south to Drummondville on the north. Within that vast territory, which is the historical eastern townships, and for those who, what are the townships? It's the way the land was divided. If you go along from Montreal to Sherbrooke, you'll see as you approach the Richelieu River that the farms that exist are in straight lines from the river. That's the seigneurial system. And if you come into the townships, you'll see the farms are square. That's the township system that was brought by the English settlers from the United States in the beginning. So that's why it's called the Eastern Townships. And you can see it physically as you drive along. So it's just basically how we divided up the land. We're not saying one's better than the other. It's just the way it is. But within that vast territory, we have two administrative regions, mainly for the government of Quebec. We have the Montérégie and Estrie. We, townshipers, represent the Montérégie Est, which is basically the acts from Cowansville and Granby. And Estrie is basically the vast territory from approximately Magog to the Maine border. So within that area, we represent about 5% of the total population. And in different pockets, we're 20 to 25%. So Cowansville area, which is called Brome-Missisquoi, we're about 25% of the population. Magog, which covers both sides of Lake Memphremagog, we're about 25% of the population. And then if you move to different areas, we can be anywhere from 5 to 25%. So the services to Anglophones are sort of directed to the pockets, but where people live. One of the things about townshipers that I've always noticed, and I've been involved with them one way or another for many, many years, is that their philosophy about service delivery has always been that the local services should reflect the local population. Why is this important? Because way in the past, there was a debate in the English community about management and control of health and social services. And the management and control part was not something that was as important to us in the townships. It was more, did we see ourselves in the services that were being delivered? Were the services being delivered in a way that we understood and could manage them, rather than how many people did we have on the board of directors or whether we had a separate Anglo agency? So that's something that distinguished us throughout the last 30 years as the great debates occurred about services and linguistic rights, etc. One of the other factors about this territory that's very interesting, and it may be similar in other areas, but it's certainly distinct in the townships, English is the first European language spoken on the territory. The English came from the United States after the Revolution. They're not English British, they're English from the United States. We claim to be loyalists. Most of us weren't. Most of us were getting kicked out of the States because there was no land, and we came for economic reasons. And we settled the land. and it was English-speaking people who were claimed first. And some people can even, when I first moved there in 78, people even told me, English elderly people who were 90 at the time, they could remember how brave the first Francophones were who moved into the Sutton Valley, because it must have been hard for them to come here since we're all English. It was kind of moving to the townships in 1978, and for those of you old enough, you can remember the language debates of 78, 79, to hear that from a 90-year-old man was quite different compared to what you were hearing on the radio. So we also have a characteristic in our area of mutual respect, because most people economically were the same. They were farmers, agricultural people, and they didn't care what language you speak. If you needed help with your hay, I help you and you help me. And that tradition seems to have continued. So that's a little bit about who we are, a little about who I am. This will be important later. Is I'm an Italian immigrant to the townships. I have no loyalist roots, but I was well accepted. I see myself as an Anglophone, an Anglophone Quebecer. I took a position at the Youth Protection Agency in Council, and I've stayed. And throughout that experience, I also supervised students as an interest that I had in my career. So I think that's important to note, because it may be a dynamic in our experience that helps us be successful, but it may not be something that is available in other areas. In other words, someone on the inside. I consider myself on the inside when I approach this project. Townshippers has been involved with McGill since the beginning. We've had two partnership tables, one in Estrie, one in Montérégie Est, since the beginning of that initiative. And this has certainly helped. There's no question about it. When the retention program came in, the partnership tables being present and active helped facilitate the entry. And since starting, even prior to McGill, we've always attracted stagiaires. For the Estrie region, I don't have the exact statistics on how many stagiaires were attracted in the last edition of the McGill project, because we didn't manage it at Townshippers, but there's no question that the presence of Champlain College nursing program, the English language nursing program, is a direct result of the interventions of the McGill project and Townshippers working in partnership. And in fact, anecdotally, if I pronounce that correctly, the human resource people at the Shoe Hospital openly state if they have the opportunity, they're going to hire every single nurse. So there's a real connection between the establishments, what's going on at Champlain, the McGill project, and the townshippers. As far as Montérégie Est, which we were directly involved with, Cowansville Granby, since its inception, we have attracted one in terms of stagiaires. This territory has 22% English-speaking population, which is skewed toward the elderly. It's about 18%, 0 to 18. We'll also find in that population an overrepresentation of youth protection people or cases. The behavior of the community is very, very typical of any minority you will find anywhere it exists. It's overrepresented in its numbers in the health system. In youth protection, we're 40% for the last 10 years Anglophone cases for a population that's on decreasing, and 18%. So that's something you might want to check out, because that presence of that population and the need to speak in English for those kind of services is very frustrating to an agency if they can't deliver it, the services. Never mind rights or what we should do. There will be a frustration in those establishments trying to meet the needs of that population. That's something you could work with. So we have attracted, in terms of stagiaires, one occupational therapist, one physiotherapist. We've had seven social work students come into the area from University of Sherbrooke or from McGill. All are bilingual, of course, and one is trilingual, which is helpful to the agencies as well, because Granby is a designated spot for certain immigrants coming to Quebec, Canada, and Spanish is the language that's used there. So having some trilingual recruits also helps the agencies as well. It's not the mandate of the program, but it's a bonus. All of our social work students have found employment in the area. Some are currently working. Some have been on list of repel. But they're in the system, and they work. We've also worked with people who have degrees who are in the area and maybe have graduated, but we help them make contacts with the system, and we've recruited, I'll use that word, two of those people who are currently working in the system as well. In order to understand why are we successful, if we are, I think we need to look at a background of social services in our Eastern Townships area, particularly Granby Council, because I think this is significant when you look at it. And I don't know if it exists in other areas, but some of the history buffs in your community should help you with this, because it is important in my analysis of the situation. Prior to Castonguay in 1970, or the modern Quebec health and social service system, the Anglo agency was called Brome Family Community Services. This agency was private, if you will. I think the government was involved, but they considered themselves private. For foster care placements, they had an entente with the Diocesan, or the church agency that handled St. Hyacinth down to the border. And all foster care placements went through the French-speaking Catholic agency. This is prior to Castonguay. So you could see already the communities were working together and making partnerships. When Castonguay came, what Brome County Family Services became and this diocesan, agency became was CSS Richelieu. So the moment that the CSS Richelieu, and some of this is ancient history, but that was one of the levels of agencies that were created, they integrated all the employees, all the services into the agency, and automatically they were serving the Anglophone population, whether they wanted to or not. For the Montérégie, there was also an integration of South Shore Family Community Services, which became part of CSS Richelieu. So there were five agencies that became the new regional agency for health and social services, two of which were identified and had strong attachments to the Anglophone community. So I think it's important. I don't know if that's just a bit of good luck, but before anything started, access to Anglophone services was already present. If you go to Estrie, we had the Sherbrooke Hospital, which was identified as an English hospital in the community. It was amalgamated to CHUS. When it became amalgamated, negotiations occurred, and services to the Anglophone population were offered by negotiation and partnership rather than by law. So one of the hypotheses you might want to look at in your community is where historic Anglo services existed, service delivery in English is accepted. I think that's something you might want to look at when you're looking at, if you're having a, you don't want to analyze your area. Prior to the Health and Social Service Act integrating certain rights and guarantees for Anglophones, in Cowansville, we had a campaign for a group home, and it still exists today, and Townshippers was involved with a community group, and it was a partnership between the English School Board, the community group, Townshippers, and all the French-speaking centres d'accueil for young people in the area, and we lobbied, and we got a group home together. And the existence of the English-speaking group home was something that was accepted by the establishment or the majority, and it wasn't something that was referred to Montreal. Everybody wanted the group home, and we're still there. Around the same time as the group home, then we got legislated guarantees, and that had a big impact because it's part of what's expected in access plans. So like an administrator in an agency now has that law governing what he does, and he has to develop an access plan by law. So that's the modern era. Another thing that I'd like to mention, if you're looking at ways to influence the establishments, a new thing has occurred, and I don't really know a lot about it, but I am an employee, but I hear about it in the system. It's called the agrément. To me, this is an audit. Okay? And to me, an audit is when an auditor comes in and says, did the board of directors do with the money what they said they were going to do? They don't question the decision, but they say they were going to buy a yellow car. Did they buy a yellow car? I think that's what an audit is. I'm not an accountant. So an agrément is something that's extremely important from what I can see in the network today. Everybody wants to be agrégé, and they're very proud. Every office that gets agrément, there's a visit from the director general throughout the agency congratulating the employees, and plaques and things are put on the walls of the waiting room so they can show it off. What are one of the things that are agrégé? L'offre de service en langue anglaise. Okay, because it's in the law. Okay, so you might want to ask establishments, how did they do in their agrément? And how did they do under the section l'offre de service en langue anglaise? Because the community can help them improve their agrément. And this is very important. I have never seen so much action for Anglophone services since it was identified in Saint-Jeunesse-Montérégie's first agrément as a faiblesse. Okay? Almost the day it was in print, committees were formed, things were done, liaisons made. It's very, very important. So I don't know how it fits in. The ministry people could perhaps help us, but it seems very, very important. And we could be helpful to them in doing that. The other hypothesis, and this is something that we've seen in our area, often where no service exists in English, there's no service. We found this, a lot of people 10, 15 years ago complained about mental health, no psychiatrists, and of course the English community in its persecution complex, okay, it's because we're English, okay? There must be no psychiatrist because we're English. But if you really scratch the surface, there was no psychiatrist. But sometimes through the back door of the minority group, you can solve the majority's problem. Because no mental health team or no psychiatrist is going to come to an area for English only. They're going to come bilingual. So by being present at the table, working with the majority to solve the problem that exists, you automatically anglicize the service that's going to come. And a good example of this is in Cowansville. Again, there was a sort of dépannage home or a 30-day crisis home outside of for people 16 to 30 that there seemed to be a need for, and Townshippers was present at the table. It's called the living room or l'espace vivant. We even have a bilingual name because we were present, and through our influence, we helped make that happen. So now that's a service for everybody. But there's also, within it, service for English. So one of the other partnerships is to not always talk about the English community, talk about services to the community and make links with the community at large. And then when the services become available, they'll be adapted to the people that lobbied for them. And, of course, all of the recruits under the McGill Project are bilingual. So right away, we're helping the majority. If there's no orthophonist in your area, and we provide one through the program, it's going to be a bilingual orthophonist, and right away we're helping the French community solve its problem via the minority group. So that's just something to think about. The other factor that makes it difficult is Anglophones in our area who want to follow the traditional routes of Anglophone education tend to go to the Anglophone cégeps. And the Anglophone cégeps are not places where the Francophone networks in our area recruit employees. So it's not anti-English, but if they're looking for nurses in Cowansville, they go to Granby cégep. So one of our jobs is to get, like we did last night, get some of these kids who are following Anglophone educations in a place to be considered, helping them come back, and the program really does help us do that. And making them aware that they have a place. Okay, the best strategies for success are use existing networks. There's many, many in the French community. They are very good at this. They have tabs de toutes sortes de choses. Okay? There's a tab a week, okay? So be present at the tabs. Show an interest in the larger community. Remember that all candidates can serve the both communities. And I think another thing that you have to look at is you have to look at the idea of the smallest change. Things are not going to happen big, spectacular events. You know, it's going to be a small change. And establishments already have strategies. McGill Project is not necessarily something new. I remember the gentleman at Shoe Hospital who says, "Mr. Calori, I have 750 stagiaires. How can I have more?" Okay, so as an Anglophone, you go in there and you have all your community baggage. He doesn't want us. No, that's not the answer we should give. How many of your stagiaires that you have are bilingual? Well, probably half. You're already doing the program. Make it simple. You know, he already has bilingual stagiaires. So how can we put those bilingual stagiaires in place where there are Anglophone clients? That's the trick. Then it becomes a whole different conversation. It becomes less work. It's, you mean I'm already doing it? That's all you expect? Yeah, that's all we expect. Just put that person there. If an Anglophone comes in, have them serve that person. If they don't come in, keep it in French. The other thing that we find hard sometimes as Anglophones when we go into this is the self-interest. We want to be accepted. We want them, all these establishments, say, you English people, you're so fantastic. We want to offer you services because we love you. Okay? That's what we want to hear. Okay? You might hear it. 9 times out of 10, you won't. Don't be shy to negotiate based on the self-interest of the other guy. Okay? Don't be insulted if establishment uses programs to develop French services, as long as you're getting what you need. Most of these establishments are going to go after the money, and they're going to use the money to do the English services that they mandate to, but they're also going to develop the French network with it. They're going to complement with these bilingual staffers that they're going to bring in. Those staffers are going to be working with the French community. They're going to be providing services in the larger community. But as I said earlier, they're going to be offering English. But you might hear that. You say, moi j'ai aussi un problème pour les francophones. No problem. We can help. Instead of, how come you're always talking about that? You never talk about us. That's not the good approach. It's how can we help with that situation? And always remind these people that all of the candidates can serve the majority. Everybody is bilingual. So if there's no Anglophone on Friday coming into the office, you're not wasting your money when you hire this person. That's a very important thing to remind them. Challenges. You can get resentment in some of this because when they start creating bilingual posts, because of a shortage of bilingual professionals, bilingual candidates jump the list to repel. All of the stagiaires in council at the Saint-Jeunesse got jobs within 1 month of finishing their stage. That's not because there was no one on the list. There was no one on the list to repel for bilingual posts, but there were lots of people on the list to repel for posts. So on the management side, we got a candidate for that post. We filled it. Great. They're excited. Employees, I've been here for 5 years. How come she gets a job? You have to be ready for helping the establishments understand that. You know, just because she's English, she gets a job? You know, that's a dynamic that could be present. Having said that, the other thing that we have to watch from the Anglophone side, and we have no definition of an Anglophone. Eh? An Anglophone is anyone who speaks English. So Marie Marcy, I told her the other day, she's an Anglophone. Okay, because she speaks English. That's the definition in the dictionary. Many of our candidates are Francophone mother tongue who speak very, very good English and have very good affinity with the community. They're Anglophones. So, you know, it's very fluid, the definition. But having said that, for those of us who come from what we call the traditional English community or maybe educated in English, we have to understand that it's not English or anti-English that the system is very preoccupied with the quality of French. This is a societal concern. So we have candidates that we present who are bilingual, But they go to Resource Humaine, and a Resource Humaine person who's interviewed them all in French, okay, feels their French is not good enough because they made a grammatical error here or there. There is a preoccupation in the system because of report writing, because of charting, that the French be of a very high quality. We interpret that as they don't want any English people. They interpret that as we want a high quality of French. This is a Quebec preoccupation. So we have to find challenges to deal with that. I'm getting cut. Yep. Okay. Having said that, I'm going to be positive at the end here. I find... Okay. I just want to say, having said some maybe provocative things for you to think about, generally speaking, in our area, there's tremendous goodwill based on historical reasons. Two of the CLSEs require every single employee to speak 3.5 level of English. I find that's extreme, probably not necessary, but very nice. So on that note, I'll leave. Now they want me to stay.
Yeah. Does somebody have a question for Michael? We have time for one or two questions. You may move up to the mic.
Just a comment. I think you've identified a kind of lever that is accreditation and this this desire of organizations to pass accreditation with flying colors. I just did a review of all the Qmentum standards and the accreditation standards, and nowhere in there is there reference to minority language and serving minority language populations. So, it's more a reflection than anything else that one of the pathways to explore is perhaps in partnership with Accreditation Canada, trying to formalize some norms for minority language access and serving populations in public health institutions in minority language and having that actually assessed. I'm also not sure that there is a formal assessment in terms of access programs of designated establishments who are designated to serve in a minority population in their language. But it's an interesting observation that once the accreditation team identified that in one of your establishments, that there was a tremendous response and efforts made to improve the services.
Yeah, again, I can't speak for the criteria. It's something to explore. It's just an interesting dynamic. But the agrément is a Quebec. You mentioned Canadian. It's a Quebec agrément.
Yeah, I've done the CQA review as well, and there's nothing in there. I meant both accreditation.
Okay. I know a lot of agencies now, this is different than the past, like are going for Child Welfare League accreditation. This is something you would not have seen 20 years ago. There's more of an openness to sort of look at out of Quebec agencies coming in and seeing how we're doing. But I don't have this, I just wanted to put the agrément as a word for you guys to consider in your own region, see what it means to you and how it could possibly be helpful and how you could help them if that's an issue.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.